This is the Voice of Freedom. To the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also broadcast on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 Eastern Standard Time.
This is My Daddy's Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it to be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing I've got to set straight tonight before we get into our broadcast. Remember when somebody called in and thought that that Heather was a woman, and I set them straight and said that Heather, one of our affiliate station owners, was a man? Well, I got to tell you, I was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, Heather is really a duck. Lives in a little pond in Michigan and commutes back and forth to Ohio in order to run this radio station. And that's not the case either. I want to apologize to Heather and to the caller because it turns out that Heather, one of the best stations on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, really is a woman. Seems that she just has a deep voice, and sometime in the deep recesses of the distant past, I had a telephone conversation with Heather in which either she misunderstood what I was saying or I misunderstood what she was saying, because I originally thought that she was a woman, and I thought that she had corrected me, and that's what I was going on. So anyway, I have egg on my face. Heather is embarrassed, and all of her listeners want to know who that person is running around in the dress that's running the station. So I hope that sets it all straight for everybody. And we'll have to be much more careful in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you have your tape recorders rolling tonight or this afternoon, depending upon which coast or where in between you are at. Or make sure that you have a thick pad of paper and that you take extensive notes, because I'm going to let you have it today. with all four barrels. And I'm going to be shoveling information and references and document numbers and executive orders and laws and United States Code and everything else at you so fast that if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. And as usual, I advise you all, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing, not from me, not even from your own mother, unless you can prove it in your own research, in your own investigations, in your own right. That is the only way you will ever know if anything is really the truth. You see, we got in the situation that we're in by trusting people to do the right thing, because it can't happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, recent polls tell us that the average American family, and I'm talking about each member, watches television an average of 7 hours each day. Now, if you take 7 hours of watching television, combine that with 7 hours or 8 hours of school and work, it doesn't leave much time in the day to even talk to each other, does it? The best thing that you can do for your family and for yourselves and for your children, if you're not able to control the amount of time and the subject matter that you are watching on the communist news networks, is to Take a big hammer. Give it to your smallest child and tell him to fix the television set. And once you've done that, your family will be a lot safer than it ever was. For while you are watching the pablum that they shovel your way daily, nightly, all night, every night, this is what's really happening in the world. And this is what you will never be told or never learn on the communist news networks. Were you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that your favorite president, on June 16, 1983, under Executive Order 12-425, entitled International Criminal Police Organizations, Ronald Reagan signed this executive order, which literally gives international criminal police organizations immunity from all laws of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to hear tonight and tomorrow night is going to anger you, probably to the point of exploding. You're going to find that we've been betrayed, that the United States really does not exist except in your minds, and some of you reached that conclusion yesterday when I showed you what's really in the Constitution and compared it to what's really happening, and they do not agree at all. If the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, how can that happen? Unless, of course, it's already been subverted and thrown into the trash can. And I'm telling you right now, that is exactly what has happened. We have been betrayed. The Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, was scrapped many, many years ago. We are being propelled gradually, but faster and faster all the time, into a one-world, totalitarian, socialist, utopian government. By utopian, I mean that's what they want us to believe. It is not going to be utopian by any stretch of the word or the imagination. We have been in the midst of World War III for many years. It is being waged against not only the people of the United States, but the people of the world. In order to bring about this one-world, totalitarian, socialist, utopian government. The symbol, ladies and gentlemen, of international socialism, in case you've wondered why I continually play the rose on this broadcast, is a red rose. And when they gave one solitary red rose to all of the people who attended the memorial service for the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah building, it was a mockery. For the building was blown up to further the interest of socialism by socialists to bring about the agenda of the disarmament of the American people. Bill Clinton has been photographed in the Oval Office holding up one red rose. So has Fidel Castro and Khrushchev and Gorbachev and Molotov, all of them. And I could go on and on and on and on, Lenin, etc. Under this executive order that Ronald Reagan signed, neither state nor federal law prohibits participation by the United States National Central Bureau of Interpol in a computerized information exchange system. And though federal disclosure laws, etc., must be complied with, the Bureau may, but need not, comply with state restrictions on the use of data or state requests with respect to disclosure of data. Do you understand the consequences of what I am telling you? I mean, do you really? Under Section 286, small e-13, approval of fund pledged to sell gold to provide resources for reserve account of Enhanced Structural Adjustment Facility Trust. If Federal Reserve notes are money, ladies and gentlemen, why is the United States paying its debts in gold? I quote, "The Secretary of the Treasury is authorized to instruct the United States Executive Director of the Fund to vote to approve the funds pledged to sell, if needed, up to 3 million ounces of the fund's gold to restore the resources of the reserve account of the Enhanced Structural Adjustment Facility Trust to a level that would be sufficient to meet obligations of the trust, payable to lenders which have made loans to the loan account of the trust that have been used for the purpose of financing programs to fund members previously in arrears to the fund," end quote. In other words, as always, we're bailing out with 3 million ounces of gold people who cannot pay their debts. Listen to this. Quote, I, William J. Clinton, President of the United States of America, find that the proliferation of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons and of the means of delivering such weapons constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. Executive Order 12-868 of September 30th, 1993. End quote. You had better understand what I'm telling you, and you had better understand what that executive order just said in the context of the rest of this program, ladies and gentlemen, for it is important in your personal daily life. Executive Order 12-359 of April 22nd, 1982, Section 1, I quote, the multinational force and observers in which the United States participates, pursuant to Section 138, of Public Law 97-51 and Public Law 97-132 is hereby designated as a public international organization entitled to enjoy the privileges, exemptions, and immunities conferred by the International Organization's Immunities Acts. End quote. You see, you thought I was fooling. Also, ladies and gentlemen, the United States Treasury Department was established under the Treaty of Bretton Woods, wherein it specifically states that the Treasury Department comes under the International Monetary Fund, an international organization under the United Nations, and the Secretary of the Treasury, which up until not too long ago was Lloyd Benson, cannot be paid by the United States of America, but instead receives his remuneration from the International Monetary Fund. He is an agent of a foreign power. That makes the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms an international police organization exempt from the laws of the United States of America, and that explains what has been happening in recent months and years and why no one is ever punished for what they have done. They have immunity. It also explains how the president is being held hostage in the White House by a security force called the Secret Service, which owes its allegiance to the United Nations and not the United States of America. They will tell you that the Secret Service is an agency under the Department of the Treasury. Yet if you look in the United States Code under the organization of the Department of the Treasury, you will find that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Secret Service are not listed as agencies of the Department of the Treasury of the United States of America, or as any agency of any department of any branch of government of the United States of America. But according to law, if they are, they must appear under the organization table in the United States Code as such agents. I should say agencies. But they are not, you see. They do not owe any allegiance to the United States of America because they are agencies of the United Nations. And that is a fact. Multinational force. Public Law 97-132, Section 23. Privileges and immunities of the multinational force organization. The multinational force organization shall enjoy the status, privileges, and immunities accorded in Article 2 of the Convention on the Privileges and Immunities of the United Nations, hereinafter known as the Convention. Still quoting, the provisions of Article 2 of the Convention shall also apply to the property, funds, and assets of participating states used in the receiving state in connection with the activities of the MFO. Such participating states may not require immovable property in the receiving state without agreement of the government of the receiving state. The government of the receiving state recognizes that the right of the MFO to import, free of duty, equipment for the MFO and provisions, supplies, and other goods for the exclusive use of members of the MFO includes the right of the MFO to establish, maintain, and operate at headquarters, camps, and posts, service institutes providing amenities for the members of the MFO in full. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the equipment coming into the United States from foreign nations, Soviet bloc and East bloc military equipment is equipment belonging to the MFO of the United Nations. Under locally recruited personnel, quote, 37, the MFO may recruit locally such personnel as required. The authorities of the receiving state will, upon the request of the Director General, assist the MFO in the recruitment of such personnel. Sympathetic consideration will be given by the Director General in the recruitment of local personnel to requests or observations of authorities of the receiving state in order to avoid any adverse effects on the local economy. The terms and conditions of employment for locally recruited personnel shall be prescribed by the Director General and shall generally, to the extent practicable, be no less favorable than the practice prevailing in the receiving state, end quote. And many of you think that Ronald Reagan was your friend. Boy, did he pull one over on you. And on and on and on. Public Law 92-132, ladies and gentlemen. Now here we have Executive Order 11490. Under Part 3, Department of the Treasury, it states specifically that, quote, the Secretary of the Treasury shall develop policies, plans, and procedures for the performance of emergency functions, not normal functions, emergency functions, with respect to the following. And it goes through an awful lot of things that would just frost you, ladies and gentlemen, but number 12, quote, maintenance of the central government accounting and financial reporting system, administration of customs laws, tax laws, and laws in control of alcohol, alcoholic beverages, tobacco, and firearms, suppression of counterfeiting and forgery of government security stamps, coins, and currency, protection of the president and the vice president and other designated persons, etc., etc., etc. From a hardbound book, a thick book entitled Review of United Nations Charter, Collection of Documents, Senate Document 87, 83rd Congress, Second Session, on page 461, paragraph 99. Disclosure and Verification of Armed Forces and Armaments. United States Proposal in the Disarmament Commission, April 5th, 1952. That's 1952, folks. You see, this didn't just happen yesterday. Quote, the General Assembly resolution calling for regulation, limitation, and balanced reduction of all armed forces and armaments directs that the Commission be guided by a number of principles, including the following. Operative paragraph 3, small a. In a system of guaranteed disarmament, there must be progressive disclosure and verification on a continuing basis of all armed forces, including paramilitary, security, and police forces, and all armaments, including atomic. Now, do you understand what he just said there? They're talking about continued reporting and verification on all armed forces, including paramilitary, which is the militia, security personnel, which means the guy that's standing down at the bank, guarding the bank, and police forces, which means sheriff and police departments, and all other armaments, including atomic. It goes on, quote, such verification must be based on effective international inspection to ensure the adequacy and accuracy of the information disclosed. This inspection to be carried out in accordance with the decision of the international control organ to be established. It's in effect, ladies and gentlemen. We have Russian observers on United States soil supervising the disarmament of the United States of America as of this moment. And they've been here for a long, long time. Remember, you heard that according to a newspaper article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, United States Atomic Submarine Commanding Officers were ordered by the President to turn in their launch keys, and we read that article on an episode of The Hour of the Time. Listen to this. On page 462, under small a, extent of disclosure and verification, paragraph 2. Quote, the disclosure must cover all armed forces of every kind, including paramilitary, security, and police forces, and all armaments, including atomic. The verification of armed forces and armaments must likewise cover all armed forces of every kind, including paramilitary, security, and police forces, and all armaments, including atomic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to a document entitled Disarmament, Two Approaches, a Comparison, United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, Disarmament Proposals. Now, understand what I'm telling you. This is a joint proposal between the United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. The breakup of the Soviet Union was not an accident. It is a deceit. Mikhail Gorbachev admits that in his book Perestroika. It has also been admitted by many other high-level Soviet bureaucrats and generals. And it is thoroughly documented and outlined in a book entitled New Lies for Old. This was published by the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency in November of 1961, ladies and gentlemen. That's November of 1961, and this outlines the entire plan to disarm the world, including the United States of America and its people. Quote, disarmament goals, a free world under the rule of law with procedures for the peaceful settlement of disputes. The United States, a free, secure, and peaceful world of independent states adhering to common standards of justice and international conduct and subjecting the use of force to the rule of law, a world where adjustments to change takes place in accordance with the principles of the United Nations and under the USSR, no provision. After general and complete disarmament has been achieved, measures to be put into effect for preserving peace and security in accordance with the United Nations Charter. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics agreed only to agree once disarmament has occurred, and that disarmament is the disarmament of the United States of America and the Western powers. The Soviet Union did not agree to disarm, did not disarm, are not disarming now, and instead are continuing to build up their military forces because if all else fails, and if they are not able to disarm the American people, ladies and gentlemen, they will use the military might of what we used to know as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics to bring the United States of America into line. We are disarming, they are not. Under general and complete disarmament under the United States, a world where there shall be a permanent state of general and complete disarmament under effective international control. Under the heading, the USSR, quote, general and complete disarmament under strict and effective international controls. Note, in elaborating on this goal, the Soviets reject control of agreed levels of armaments at any stage, except after general and complete disarmament has been obtained, which means everyone else disarm except for them. Under use of resources, quote, a world where the resources of nations shall be devoted to man's material, cultural, and spiritual advance. That's the United States goal. Under the USSR, quote, part of funds released from expenditure on armaments is to be used for economic assistance to underdeveloped countries, end quote. I bet you're wondering what is happening. Well, this explains an awful lot of it, ladies and gentlemen. And we will continue and elaborate on this during the rest of this broadcast and also tomorrow. You see, oh boy, they've been after us for a long, long time. You need to find your guts. I mean it. You need to find your guts. Stop sitting back and say it can't happen to me. It's already happened, ladies and gentlemen. You just don't know about it. You haven't seen the results of all of this yet, but I can assure you, you will. And when it does, it's going to be like a Mack truck hitting you at 80 miles an hour in the middle of the freeway. But by then, it'll be too late. That's why I'm doing this. You need to find your guts and get ready to fight, if you understand what I mean. If you don't, you'd better hide in the closet, because the blood is going to run in the streets of America, and it's not far off, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not because we're going to start a war or we want to kill anybody. We don't. Nobody in this country or any other country wants to kill anybody, wants to hurt anybody. I fought in Vietnam, and when I came back, I swore I would never kill another living thing as long as I live. And I'm very, very upset that they're going to force me to do it to protect the freedom and the future of my country and of my children and my family and my community. You see, whether we want to or not, they're going to force us to unless we agree to be slaves, which most American people are not going to do ever. That's as foreign to them as living on Mars. So in order to force us to disarm, confiscate our firearms, take away our liberties and freedoms, and subject us to this new world order, they're going to have to fire the first shot. And when they do, there will be civil war in the United States of America. I know nobody wants to hear that, but you've got to hear it, because that's what's coming. And most of you already know that in your gut already. You're just afraid to say it, talk about it, or do anything to prepare for it. Because you think if you don't, that it'll never happen. And I'm telling you right now, you're fooling yourself. There's nothing in the world that's going to prevent it from happening, because the socialists are not going to back off. They're not going to stop. And all of this is so ingrained in the law and in the treaties and in the documentation and in the resolutions and conventions of the United Nations that to unravel it would be like going to an octopus fight where you can't tell which tentacle belongs to which octopus, and there's 400 octopuses in the ring fighting. Just remember this. Whoever fires the first shot loses the war. We must never do that. We can do nothing, nothing. They must do it first, and they will. They're going to have to. When they tell us to turn in our weapons and we tell them, no, we're not going to do it. In the United States statutes at large, containing the laws and concurrent resolutions enacted during the first session of the 87th Congress of the United States of America, treason, 1961, and reorganization plans, amendment to the Constitution and proclamations. Treason, it's not part of this title, that's my interjection. Volume 75 in one part. Now, if I'm going too fast, ladies and gentlemen, to write this down, order the tape. If you'd like to get a complete tape list of all the broadcasts of the Hour of the Time, send us $1 to self-addressed stamp number 10, size envelope, and I'll give you the address later. Volume 75 in one part, United States Government Printing Office, Washington, 1961. Public Law 87-297, September 26, 1961, to establish a United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Quote, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress Assembles, Title 1, short title, purpose and definitions, Section 1. This act may be cited as the Arms Control and Disarmament Act. It lays it all out, ladies and gentlemen, establishes the agency that is to supervise the disarmament of the United States, overseen and inspected by appointed officers of the Soviet Union. Quote, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, organization and functions, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, this is dated October 17, 1961. Disarmament Document Series, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Resolution adopted by an 87-11 vote in the United Nations General Assembly regarding Soviet 50 megaton bomb. Number 1632, 16-1043, preliminary meeting, October 27, 1961. The General Assembly, seized with the question of halting nuclear weapons tests, solemnly appeals to the governments of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics to refrain from carrying out its intention to explode in the atmosphere a 50 megaton bomb before the end of this month. End quote. That was the scare tactic. The result was a White House statement of October 30, 1961, calling for world disarmament by the President of the United States. He said, quote, we have no wish ever to use this military power. We are ready now, as ever, to sign the test ban treaty proposed at Geneva. We are ready now, as ever, to negotiate a treaty for general and complete disarmament, end quote. You see, they've been conducting this in the open, in the documentation, but behind closed doors to the public, because the public never reads the documentation. Disarmament Document Series, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, report to the United Nations Disarmament Commission on the 18 Nation Disarmament Committee's deliberations from the beginning of the conference, March 14, 1962 to June 1, 1962, end quote. The co-chairman of the conference of the 18 Nation Committee on Disarmament, at the request of that conference, transmit herewith to the United Nations Disarmament Commission, pursuant to General Assembly Resolution 1722-16, the following interim progress report on the conference deliberations for the period March 14, 1962 to June 1, 1962. It outlines the participants. It outlines the agreements. It outlines the preliminary deliberations. It tells, quote, the deliberations and the decisions for the Committee of the Whole, the informal meeting reports, the Subcommittee on a Treaty for the Discontinuance of Nuclear Weapons Tests and the Disarmament of the Nations of the World. And then there are conference documents listed. Then, Disarmament Document Series, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, text of presidential statement after, and after, quote, after signing into law the bill, Public Law 87-297, 87th Congress, establishing a United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, September 26, 1961, with the signing of H.R. 9118, there is created the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. This act symbolizes the importance the United States places on arms control and disarmament in its foreign policy. The creation for the first time by an act of Congress of a special organization to deal with arms control and disarmament matters emphasizes the high priority that attaches to our efforts in this direction, end quote. Treason. Plain and simple, it's treason. Quote, our ultimate goal, as the act points out, is a free world, is a world free from war. It doesn't say free world. It says a world free from war and free from the dangers and burdens of armaments in which the use of force is subordinated to the rule of law, in which international adjustments to a changed world are achieved peacefully. It is a complex and difficult task to reconcile through negotiating the many security interests of all nations to achieve disarmament, but the existence of this agency will provide new and better tools for this effort. I am pleased by the bipartisan support this bill enjoyed in the Congress. The leaders of both political parties have encouragement, gave encouragement and assistance. The new agency brings renewed hope for agreement and progress in the critical battle for the survival of mankind. Translate, New World Totalitarian Socialist Utopian Government. And the next one, disarmament, two approaches, a comparison, United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, disarmament proposals. United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, dated November 1961. Ladies and gentlemen, quote, the United States calls on all states to make a continuous, uninterrupted effort to achieve a total program for general and complete disarmament, end quote. Do you understand? Now do you know why they keep putting into Congress all of these bills to make you register your guns, take away certain types of firearms from you, disarm the American people, and they won't stop until they have every firearm in this country, or until you draw the line and say no more, and then they will send the troops against us, and then the war will start. And it will happen. Under the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, quote, although it has put forward certain proposals, apart from its disarmament plan, to ease international tensions and create a favorable climate for disarmament, the USSR takes the position, insofar as disarmament measures are concerned, that there must be full agreement on all aspects of general and complete disarmament before implementing a single measure, end quote. We are disarming, they are not. And it goes on into the goals that I've already communicated to you. Disarmament, the continuing search by William C. Foster, Director, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Disarmament, the continuing search. Perhaps as you reflect on the news these days, you feel it is not comfortable to be an inhabitant of this planet. But of course, except for brief periods in history, it never has been comfortable for great numbers of people. Annihilation by club, arrow, spear, sword, bullet, or what have you, has been a constant threat at one place or another on this relatively small globe. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the United States government and the government of the United Kingdom at the end of World War II that promoted and continues to promote the Holocaust by the Germans in order to instill in the consciousness of the people of the world that disarmament must take place. Whether or not the Holocaust occurred is not the question, and you'd better understand that right now. Of course, to those Jewish people, and Gypsies, and Poles, and Negroes, and Christians who were in the concentration camps, and who suffered, and who lost family members, and many, many others, the Holocaust is as real in their minds, whether or not it occurred, and so stay off their back about it. Leave them alone. You see, it's not about them. These people are being used like we are being used. It is about world government. These people are being used to promote it, just as you are being used every day of your life. In the blueprint for the peace race, which is the outline of basic provisions of a treaty on general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, quote, "not to an arms race, but to a peace race, to advance together step by step, stage by stage, and until general and complete disarmament has been achieved," end quote. President John F. Kennedy, September 25th, 1961. This is from the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 4, General Series 3, released May 1962. This, ladies and gentlemen, outlines the disarmament of all nations of the world and the combining of the military forces of the United States and Russia under the United Nations as a world police force. Our military forces, right now, today, are already fulfilling that function, and we have already began the initial experimentation in uniting our forces with foreign forces and with forces of the old Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, now known as the East Bloc countries, under foreign commanders as peacekeeping forces for the one world government, the United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard is the Internationale. That is the anthem of international Marxist socialism. That's the anthem of the International Communist Party. If you listen to those words very carefully, I'm going to play it one more time. Listen to it. Listen to it very carefully. You must understand what is happening to you. You must understand that the people who belong to these philosophies owe no allegiance to anyone, or to any country, or to any oath, or to any office. Only to the agenda of one world government, period. Listen to the words.
And
I told you, ladies and gentlemen, that the blueprint for the peace race, the outline of basic provisions of a treaty on general and complete disarmament in the peaceful world, was United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency document, and that's not true. It is a State Department document, 7277. State Department document, 7277, entitled Blueprint for the Peace Race, Outline of Basic Provisions of a Treaty on General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. Not to an arms race, but to a peace race, to advance together step by step, stage by stage, until general and complete disarmament has been achieved. You can also get the same material from the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 4, General Series 3, released May 1962. This, ladies and gentlemen, outlines the disarmament of all nations of the world and the combining of the military forces of the United States and Russia under the United Nations as a world police force. There will be no constitution. There will be no individual creator-endowed rights guaranteed by any constitution. There will be a socialist, totalitarian world government. It outlines three stages under which this is going to take place. And under stage two, it calls for the reduction of the armed forces of the United States military forces, all branches, to just over 2 million active duty soldiers, sailors, and Marines, and airmen. We are now in stage three. They are preparing to disarm the people. They are, listen to me carefully. You'd better listen to me. If you never listened to anyone in your whole life, you better listen to me now. They are preparing now in stage three. They are getting ready to disarm the people of the United States of America. Yesterday, the 21st of January, 1997, we phoned Washington, the Pentagon, the Department of the Navy, the Marine Corps. We phoned the Air Force and the Army. According to the Office of Public Affairs for the Pentagon, the total number of active duty personnel in all branches of the military right now is 1,466,986. And that was current as of October the 31st, 1996. We were told that the military does have plans to continue downsizing our active duty personnel, but that they did not have a target date or target figure for all branches combined. We were informed that each branch of the services has its own downsizing plan and target figures and dates. The Army at this time is not actively downsizing. We were told that they would like to keep their numbers at current levels. They also said they did not have a target reduction number or date. For January 1997, the approximate number of active duty personnel was 495,000. The Navy has been reducing active duty personnel since 1989. Their congressional limit is 395,000 by the end of fiscal year 1999. At this time, the current number of active duty personnel in the United States Navy is 407,000, and they expect to be at 401,000 by the end of fiscal year 1997. Note, the Navy is the only service to talk of congressional limits, which tells us that there may be congressional limits on the others, and they're not telling us what they are. Which means the next step is we will go and begin the research in the congressional record and dig it out ourselves. The Marines had completed their force reduction as of fiscal year 1994. The current number of active duty personnel in the United States Marine Corps is 174,000, and this is what they're trying to keep it at. The Air Force has been downsizing since fiscal year 1986. The target number for active duty personnel, including Air Force Academy graduates, is 380,425, which is to be reached by the end of fiscal year 2001. The current number of active duty personnel in the Air Force as of March 31st, 1996, is approximately 393,000. This figure includes approximately 4,000 Air Force Academy students. During the force reduction or downdraw, as the Air Force refers to it, the officer corps will be reduced by 32%, and the enlisted personnel will be reduced by 39%. The Coast Guard has been streamlining since 1994. Their goal was 12% of their active duty personnel, which equated to about 4,000. At this time, the active duty personnel number 34,992. They expect to be completed by the end of fiscal year 98. We were told that this is the smallest the Coast Guard has been since 1963. Side note, they were under the Treasury Department until 1967, at which time they were put under the then newly formed Department of Transportation. The Army and Marine Corps were the most helpful with information readily available. It took several calls and a lot of pulling teeth to get the Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard to get the information requested and give it to us. We are persistent, and so we got it. Now, for those of you who don't know what's happening, all of our missile silos now are empty. They are empty, 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 empty. All of our Minuteman missiles have been destroyed. They are gone forever. Our B-52 strategic bomber fleet is being hacked into three pieces, each individual bomber, by a huge crane-wielded guillotine in the desert of Arizona. And every day, it must be done in the open, for the Soviet Union flies overhead with reconnaissance planes and takes photographs to make sure that we are destroying the exact number of bombers that we are required to destroy every day, every week, every month, every year. There are Soviet officers and political observers in this country right now, every single day, supervising the disarmament and downsizing of the military forces of the United States of America, while no such disarmament is taking place in what we used to know as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, despite the spate of propaganda that is being shoveled at you like so much pablum to a baby by the communist news networks with the ilk of Peter Jennings, who's not even a United States citizen. Why would you listen to him? Dan Rather. Who, amongst all the other things he's trying to hide, is his bald head. And on and on and on and on. Ted Turncoat and CNN is not functioning on behalf of the American people, and you should have known that when he married Hanoi Jane Fonda, who has always been and is still is a rabid communist. We are now in stage three, ladies and gentlemen. In stage three, the civilian populations of the United States and the other countries of the world who still have weapons will be disarmed. That's why the World Trade Center was blown up. That's why the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City was blown up. That's why the guy in Scotland, after he had been subjected to mind control experimentations, opened up on a schoolyard of children. That's why it happened in Australia. That's why it happened in a schoolyard in Stockton. And I wrote in my book many years ago, that all of these things would take place. How did I know? Not because I had anything to do with it, folks. I know simply because I've studied the history of socialism. They never change. They never change. They are as predictable as the sun. The problem with most of you is you never read history. Most of you, in fact, don't read at all anymore. Isn't that the truth? It's easier just to watch television, isn't it? The sum total of all of the wisdom and the knowledge of the human race is in books. None of it. Not one single iota of it is on television or on videotape or at the movie theater. You'd better understand that. That's why it is one of the biggest travesties that has ever happened to this country that we are turning graduates out of high school who cannot even read their own diploma. My daughter could read when she was 3. She's 6 years old now and just finished the adult leather-bound volume of Aesop's Fables. And she read the whole book in about 4 hours. I'm not bragging about my daughter, folks. She's just a little girl. What I'm telling you is she has had a lot of attention and we've taught her to read, and you can do the same with your children and with yourselves. For they all have the same brains, the same potential. What they don't have is somebody that expects it of them and will help them reach the goals that they must reach in order to be responsible, knowledgeable, and proper citizens. Stage 3. We're in it. Very soon, they will begin to disarm the American people and the rest of the people in the world. The only armament that will be left in each country will be that armament which is sufficient to equip the police force necessary to maintain internal order. Don't believe it? Get it. State Department Publication 7277. Read it. Understand it. And stop whining and crying. Join a militia. If you can't find a militia to join, form one of your own. And get ready to fight for your freedoms, ladies and gentlemen, or get in the closet and hide until they come and put the chains on you, because democracy is a code word for socialism, and democracy is coming to the USA. Disarmament. When you hear that word, you think automatically of disarming Russia. Russia's not disarming. Ladies and gentlemen, we are. We did not win the Cold War as you thought. The fall of the Soviet Union was a deception to disarm the West, and the Soviets have made no secret of it. It is in all their writings. It is in their speeches. It is everywhere. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, don't believe anything you hear on this broadcast. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe absolutely nothing. Unless you can prove it in your own right, and that's why I'm giving you all of these references. So you can go out to prove me wrong, and in so doing, become an ally. But you'll find out that I'm telling you the truth, that I'm the only one in America who's doing it. Isn't that what most people are really interested in, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that what makes the world go round? Well, while you're engaged in those activities, someone else is putting the chains upon your ankles and you don't even know it's happening. This is the voice of freedom. To the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations around the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz, Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Oh!
Welcome back to the Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, and what I'm giving you today is an awful lot of documentation and absolute proof that is irrefutable. All you have to do is don't believe me because I say it. You write down the document numbers that I give you, and you go find those documents, and you read them for yourself. It's going to make you angry. You're going to find out that we have been betrayed. Those people in Washington, D.C. are not about the business of government. They are about the business of treason. They have sold us down the river. They are engaged in lies and deception and manipulation to bring us into a government that we would never accept willingly, nor would we even consider if we knew what was really going on. And some of us do know. And those of us who do know, ladies and gentlemen, are fighting it tooth and nail. The biggest battle is to wake up the American sheeple and convert them into real people so that we have a chance. Don't go away. Disarmament, the United States Initiative, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 8, General Series 5, released September 1962. And this again has an introduction, ladies and gentlemen, called The Call for Leadership by John J. McCloy, who at that time was the leader or executive director of the Council on Foreign Relations, who outlined the disarmament of the world led by the United States and the Soviet Union. He talks about, and I quote, the complexities of disarmament, the Geneva test ban negotiations, the United States' determination to halt the arms race, the disarmament agency, the common market, working toward a world without war and a new world order. A new world order. You see, George Bush didn't just pull that term out of the ether. History of disarmament negotiations, U.S. proposal for disarmament, needs for adequate verification, question of the proper forum, improving United Nations peacekeeping machinery, describing the forces that will be combined by the two major powers to police the world, taking the first steps. United States outlines initial proposals of program for general and complete disarmament by Dean Rusk. Disarmament, a worldwide responsibility, laying bases for disarmament, U.S. proposals for work of conference, call for early action on testing, etc., 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 etc. The dilemma? How to do it, he says. Quote, I appreciate that I am here before a sophisticated audience today. Most of you have read the reports that one Polaris submarine carries more explosive power than all the bombs dropped by both sides during World War II, including the two atomic bombs, end quote. Those are the scare statements. You have to understand that the Cold War, ladies and gentlemen, was a scam to begin with to bring this all about. And the Soviet Union has recently released publicly the documents which prove that all during the Cold War, their bombers never once carried not even one atomic weapon. It was a scare tactic to bring this about and fund the development of technology through the willing giving of tax dollars in the face of a Cold War enemy by the American people and the people of the world to develop the technology to control the people of the world under the New World Order. Quote, toward a world without war, a summary of United States disarmament efforts past and present. End quote. United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 10, General Series 6, released October 1962. Quote, world order will be secured only when the whole world has laid down these weapons which seem to offer us present security but threaten the future survival of the human race, end quote. There was never any danger of that, and still is not. President John F. Kennedy said that in his State of the Union message, January 11, 1962, the whole time knowing that there was no threat, their intercontinental ballistic missiles never were a threat to the United States of America. The Soviet Union never even had the capability of manufacturing one single computer chip, ladies and gentlemen, or even a transistor. It was beyond their capability. The American Journal of International Law, Volume 56, 1962, published by the American Society of International Law. Publication Office, Lancaster Press, Incorporated, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Executive and Editorial Office, 2223 Massachusetts Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Copyright, 1962. This is the American Journal of International Law, ladies and gentlemen, and in here it outlines the official documents. Disarmament. Outline of basic provisions of a treaty on general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world, submitted by the United States delegation to the United Nations Committee on Disarmament, Geneva, April 18, 1962, in which it outlines everything that I have already discussed in an official treaty, ladies and gentlemen, which was signed and which was ratified by the Senate, calling for the complete disarmament of all weapons of all nations, including your weapons. Progressive inspection for disarmament. The concept of progressive zonal inspection. United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 13, released January 1963. This proposes the zonal concept. At the beginning of it was the school weapons ban zones. The school weapons ban zones. The second implementation of this was the recent law passed that says that the BATF can set up roadblocks anywhere they want to in places that they determine and so label as no gun zones, stop every vehicle and every pedestrian and search them for weapons and seize any weapons that are found. That is in effect today. It goes on. The extent of inspection is related to amount of disarmament. The amount of assurance is related to degree of risk to parties to the treaty. Principles of disarmament, treaty outline. 1, by stages within specified limits. 2, balance. No party can gain a military advantage. No party can suffer a loss of security. 3, verified during and after it occurs. The extent of verification is to be related to the amount of disarmament and the degree of risks involved. Verification of both arms reduction and arms level. 4, accompanied by progressive strengthening of the United Nations. Carried out in each, this is number 5, carried out in each successive stage after the decision that all measures in preceding stage will have been accomplished and verified. All arrangements for the next stage are ready to operate. Objects and activities to be verified during disarmament. Number 1, destruction of armaments. 2, conversion of armaments to peaceful uses. 3, reduction of armed forces. 4, halting or limiting of declared production, testing, and other specified activities. 5, agreed levels of armaments and armed forces. 6, absence of undeclared production, testing, and other specified activities which are subject to termination or limitation. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, we are a vassal state of the United Nations by treaty and by passage of the United Nations Participation Act. This has been admitted in law. It has been admitted by a Supreme Court judge who has stated emphatically that whenever a judge is deciding anything that has to do with the Constitution, he must have on his desk a copy of the Constitution for the United States of America and a copy of the Charter of the United Nations. When the two disagree, the United Nations Charter will prevail. Don't believe it? Get off your butts and start digging, because it's true. Disarmament, they say, is to be balanced, verified under the Progressive Zonal Inspection Plan. Division of national territories into zones. The first division in the United States of America has been gun bans in school zones. That's what regional government is all about. Declaration to the International Disarmament Organization of total level of armaments, forces, and specified types of activities subject to verification in each zone. Selection of zones for inspection. Declaration to the International Disarmament Organization of the exact locations of armaments, forces, and specified types of activities which are within the zone or zones selected for inspection in that step. Arrangements to assure against undeclared movements of the objects of verification. Aerial and mobile ground inspection of objects of verification within the zone selected. Once a zone has been selected and inspected, it remains open for further inspection while verification is being extended to additional zones. That's number 7. Number 8, when the first zones have been inspected in accordance with an agreed time schedule, arms levels would again be declared as in 2. Then the next zone or zones would be selected and inspected as in 4 through 7. I expect, ladies and gentlemen, that the next zones will be national parks and forests, and followed closely by land under the auspices of the Bureau of Land Management, and so on and so on. By the end of the final stage, when all disarmament measures have been completed, inspection will have been extended to all zones in the territories of the parties to the treaty. Disarmament is to be carried out within definite time limits by stages, and each stage is divided into 3 steps. Selection of zones may be 1, by the International Disarmament Organization, 2, by the non-host Western or Soviet bloc, 3, by random choice, or 4, some combination of the above. The break of the Soviet Union occurred, ladies and gentlemen, the breakup, to fool the American people into accepting disarmament, not understand really what this is all about. You see, these people around the world understand sheeple better than you would ever believe. And you'd better quit being sheeple right this moment. You'd better pull the wool out from over your eyes. Stop being hoodwinked. Take off that fur coat. Stand up on your own 2 feet. Stop bawling. Join a militia. If you can't find one, form one. Get ready to fight for your freedoms or lose them all without a whimper. If you're not ready to fight, I don't want to hear a whimper out of anybody. Get a book entitled Disarmament Proposals, published in 1964. The author is Son, S-O-H-N. Disarmament Proposals, 1964, Son. It outlines the entire plan, including the disarmament of the individual American common people. Arms Control and National Security, second edition. United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Washington, D.C., 20451. And why should it work now if it failed before? Arms Control and National Security, second edition, published by the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Washington, D.C., 20451. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm going fast, I know that, because I have to cover an awful lot of material in a very short period of time. This is the only way to do it. As everyone knows, I'm quoting directly from Why Should It Work Now If It Failed Before? Arms Control and National Security. Quote, as everyone knows, most attempts at disarmament throughout history have ended in failure. One might wonder, therefore, why any present or future attempts, even at partial disarmament, should be any more successful. After all, the political organization or disorganization of the world remains essentially as it has been in past centuries. Despite the existence of the United Nations, power remains polarized at the level of the nation state. End quote. So understand, folks, that this is not about prevention of war. It's about establishing a world government. It says, and I quote, there is a new factor in the picture, which in the end may outweigh all the others. It is technology, end quote. Technology. Quote, even as it has introduced new problems, technology has also brought an unprecedented promise of solutions. In the first place, it has brought an incentive for arms control and disarmament agreements, which historically neither common sense nor statesmanship has ever been sufficient to provide. In the second place, it is equipping us with advanced means of surveillance, thus making politically acceptable agreements which earlier would have not been possible. The 1963 Limited Test Ban Treaty, which prohibits nuclear tests in the atmosphere, underwater, and in outer space, is a case in point. This treaty was made necessary by technology. It also was made possible by technology. End quote. It talks about a new approach to security using this technology. It also talks about, ladies and gentlemen, a complete definition of the term arms control. And that would fill a page. And even then, not everyone would be satisfied. For practical purposes, however, arms control might be summed up as efforts to reduce the likelihood of war and to limit its effects if it occurs. It thus covers a broad spectrum of possible measures. And listen to this. Quote, history and advancing technology have combined to make arms control a highly complex subject, calling for the concerted efforts of military men, diplomats, physical and social scientists, jurists, and others. In this very same report on page 18, and remember, folks, this was published in 1970 under Open Skies, which, by the way, has been passed and is in effect. It's the Open Skies Treaty. Quote, this new approach was marked by President Eisenhower's Open Skies Plan in 1955, which called for reciprocal aerial inspection of the United States and the Soviet Union and the exchange of military blueprints by the two countries. This plan did not meet with acceptance by the Soviets, who said that such aerial surveillance should not be permitted until the last stage of a comprehensive disarmament process. It has been approved. All signatories to the treaty have signed it. It is in effect, and we are in the last stage. Remember, it says, quote, until the last stage, end quote. So those of you who think we're still in stage one or stage two, you'd better rearrange your gray matter, because we are in the last stage. There's only four more years until their set date for the formation of this new world order. Actually, three more years. It's 1997, isn't it? They have 3 years to disarm the American people according to their plans. Do you understand that? 3 years to disarm the American people according to their plans. The Open Sky Treaty was just signed about 3 years ago, and Russian aircraft overfly the United States to inspect the disarmament of the United States now on a daily basis, and we are overflying what used to be known as the Soviet Union. We are disarming, they are not. According to their policy, they will not until everybody else does, although they say they are, and although our government is fooling us into believing that they are. They are not disarming. Understand also, ladies and gentlemen, it is a scam, because if anything goes wrong, the military might of what used to be known as the Soviet Union will enforce the formation of the New World Order, accompanied by the treasonous military officers of the United States military services, all four of them, who are in total complicity and agreement, and are even now, as we speak, acting as the police force for the New World Order. They know what they are doing. They are sworn to protect the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and regardless, they are engaged in treason. So if you're looking for our own armed forces to save us, you're looking in the wrong place. The only defense you have is the militia and those members of the armed forces who at the specified time will realize what they are doing and come over to us with their men and their equipment. And that will happen. I don't know on what scale, but it will happen. Quote, the 10th special session of the General Assembly, the first session to be devoted to disarmament, opened on 23rd May 1978 at the United Nations headquarters, New York. The Assembly concluded its work in the early hours of July the 1st. Earlier during that final meeting on 30 June, it adopted resolutions S-10/2 containing the final document of the 10th special session of the General Assembly, comprising an introduction, a declaration, and a program of action, and establishing new international machinery for disarmament. Now listen to what I just said, establishing new international machinery for disarmament. And that's that multi nation force that I told you about, that's here, with thousands of pieces of Russian armament, armored personnel carriers, tanks, decontamination vehicles, which means that they may even use biological or chemical warfare upon us. On page 22, it also decided to establish a program of fellowships on disarmament. Quote, implementation of the priorities mentioned in the program should lead to general and complete disarmament under effective international control, the Assembly asserted, end quote. And, quote, the Committee on Disarmament was to undertake the elaboration of a comprehensive program of disarmament in order to ensure that the goal of general and complete disarmament became a reality in a world in which the new international economic order was strengthened. Let me say that again. The new international economic order was strengthened. That's a buzzword for the new world order. And you're still listening to Rush Limbaugh. You think he's telling you the truth. You better wake up. He's a detractor. He's a scam. He's a shill for the new world order. Quote, necessary measures should be taken to maintain international peace and security, including the obligation of states to place at the disposal of the United Nations agreed manpower for an international peace force equipped with agreed types of armaments to ensure that the United Nations was able to deter or suppress any threat or use of arms in violation of its purposes and principles. You see, they're not talking about treaties that we made. They're talking about the United Nations as a world government. That's what this is all about. Quote, general and complete disarmament under strict and effective international control should permit states to have at their disposal only those non-nuclear forces, armaments, and facilities agreed to be necessary for internal order, end quote. No new world order? Rockefeller's not involved? The Trilateral Commission is not involved? The Council on Foreign Relations is not involved? Newt Gingrich is not involved? Bob Dole's not involved? Bill Clinton is not involved. He's just a nice guy with a, you know, with a wife that has a big mouth or something. They're all involved, or they wouldn't be there. They admit it in their own publications. This is the final document. On June 30th, 1978, at the end of the special session, the General Assembly adopted Resolution S10/2, by which it adopted also the final document of the 10th Special Session of the General Assembly, providing a broad platform for further efforts by the United Nations in the field of disarmament, etc., etc., etc. New World Economic Order, New World Order, words echoed over and over again years ago. The Special Session, and I'm quoting, must demonstrate to the world that the fundamental principles of the Charter continue to serve as the guiding light for the international community in its quest for a new economic, political, and social order based on a equality and justice for all, end quote. That's socialist drivel, ladies and gentlemen. Look at all the socialist regimes that have ever occurred or risen to power in the history of the world. You'll see that there was never equality for all. And there certainly was never justice for anybody. Limbaugh and all the others know about this, but they will not tell you about it. Because if they do, they lose their radio shows. And they lose the millions of dollars that they've sold out for. Resolution S10/2 is recommended by Ad Hoc Committee of 10th Special Session, AS-1023, Part 1, adopted without vote by Assembly on 30 June 1978. Without vote. Without vote. Quote, the nuclear and conventional arms buildup threatens to stall the efforts aimed at reaching the goals of development to become an obstacle on the road of achieving the new international economic order and to hinder the solution of other vital problems facing mankind. Conference of the Committee on Disarmament. And this is from 15th Annual Report to the Congress, United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, Publication 88, released July 1976. The Geneva-based conference of the Committee on Disarmament held two sessions during 1975, that proves to be among the most active in the 13-year history of this principal multilateral forum for arms control negotiations. Its 31 member nations represent a geographic and political cross-section of the world. The representatives of the United States and of the Soviet Union serve as co-chairmen. Ambassador Joseph Martin, Jr. led the United States delegation. Quote, the committee's agenda included several new issues that had been referred to it by the 1974 United Nations General Assembly. The question of nuclear weapon-free zones, arms control implications of nuclear explosions for peaceful purposes, and environmental warfare, in addition to the topic of chemical weapons restraints and a comprehensive nuclear test ban. End quote. And under environmental warfare, listen to this, quote, the highlight of the session was the August 21st tabling by the United States and Soviet representatives of identical texts of a draft. Let me say that again. The highlight of the sessions was the August 21st tabling by the United States and Soviet representatives of identical texts of a draft. Listen to this. Identical texts of a draft entitled, quote, Convention on the Prohibition of Military or Any Other Hostile Use of Environmental Modification Techniques, end quote, and it goes on and on and on and on. And they do have the ability to modify weather and just about make it whatever they want. I don't know if they've been doing that. But they have the ability. And we have found treaties that exist that acknowledge that they have the ability and prohibit the signatories to the agreement from using such technology to modify the weather or any other part of the environment without notifying the country that will be infected. It doesn't say they can't, it says they have to notify. And it goes on and on. The members, ladies and gentlemen, of the United Nations are fully aware of the conviction of their peoples that the question of general and complete disarmament is of the utmost importance, and that peace, security, and economic and social development are indivisible, and they have therefore recognized that the corresponding obligations and responsibilities are universal. You see what's happening? In this country, we're supposed to have representatives that we vote for, and they're supposed to represent the wishes of the people who put them into office. But they are circumventing that through treaties, through the representative to the UN and ambassadors to foreign countries. They're committing us to things that the American people don't know anything about, never voted for, would never accept in a million years, and are blatantly unconstitutional. Unconstitutional, which means they're engaged in treason, for they are dismantling and destroying the United States of America right before our very eyes.
Oh, there's a little world out of power. tumble through that jar. Laugh and say hello and say goodbye. But some days it's hard, like those two don't prove. And when we say it's very good time, oh yeah, it's hard time.
Well, it's taken me a long time to do this. I wanted to get through a lot more than what I'm going to get through today, but we still have tomorrow. And the next day, so never fear, it's on the Wednesday. Conventional weapons control. And this again from the 15th annual report to the Congress. Quote, during the spring session, Ambassador Martin urged the committee explore practical means of restraining the worldwide competition in conventional arms, end quote. Conventional arms, ladies and gentlemen, that means your rifle. Your rifle. Quote, in addition to reiterating United States' willingness to assist in the establishment of conventional arms control arrangements on a regional basis, Ambassador Martin set forth for the committee's consideration principles applicable worldwide to the acquisition and transfer of conventional arms. These principles are discussed in greater detail in the chapter on arms transfers. That program, passing through all the necessary stages, should lead to general and complete disarmament under effective international control. End quote. And now it doesn't say under control of the government of the United States of America or your local police department or your sheriff. It says international control. Now, what do you think general and complete disarmament means? It means every single weapon in the hands of every single person except those designated as the internal police force, the state police, to maintain internal order. Are you beginning to get some lights turned on in your head? I hope so. I really hope so. Notice, folks, it does not say partial disarmament. It doesn't say just the military. It does not say military forces. And remember, in an earlier publication, it even included the police. It says complete disarmament. And it does include the police, except for the state police force, which will have only the arms necessary to maintain internal order. Quote, genuine and lasting peace can only be created through the effective implementation of the security system provided by the Charter of the United Nations and the speedy and substantial reduction of arms and armed forces by international agreement and mutual example, leading ultimately to general and complete disarmament under effective international control, end quote. That's why bases are closing, ladies and gentlemen, to the military, but they're not really closing. They're closing but not closing. Ho-ho! Troops lost it, right? How can they be closing but not closing? They were said they were closing to save money, and then they don't close and spend money to establish those bases as prisons, ladies and gentlemen, and mental treatment centers. If you don't believe that, go around to all the closed bases throughout the country, and you'll see that either the entire installation or a portion of it is now a prison or a mental treatment center. And when the New World Order is created, and as they begin to round us up, those prisons and those mental treatment facilities will be populated by patriots, who in the New World Order will be said to be suffering from a psychosis. You see, we'll be considered to be primitives, kluons, if you will. Klingons who refuse to adapt to the new world socialist order will be called mentally ill. Star Trek is brainwashing your children. You didn't even know it. What is it? Why, isn't there some kind of a galactic federation? A new world space order of all the different planets? And it's socialist, you see. None of those people have any property. None of them have any money. None of them have any families. Their whole cause is devoted to the furtherance of this federation, this new world order. And every time you see children enter the picture with parents, you see that it creates havoc. Anytime someone engages in a love affair, it creates havoc. And it's never consummated with marriage or lasting family life, ever. Not ever. And who are they always fighting, ladies and gentlemen? The one group in the galaxy who refuses to buy their baloney and wants to be left alone. The Klingons, clinging on to the old ways. And so your children are being brainwashed that there's nothing in the past that's worth anything. That socialism is all there is. If you don't believe me, take your blinders off, get some old episodes of Star Trek, and sit down and start watching it with your brain. And there's a lot of others. It's not the only one. That tube in your living room is a brainwashing machine. And it is destroying this country, or at least destroying the minds of some people in this country, who are, because they become then, apathetic, ignorant, stupid sheeple, by their inaction and their inability to think, are destroying this country. On page 45, under the Yearbook of the United Nations, 1978, it talks about, quote, the study should be made in the context of how disarmament can contribute to the establishment of the new international economic order, end quote. You know that this year in Europe, the European Union is supposed to go to one currency? That will be the first cemented world state, if it happens. But there are now countries in Europe who are having second thoughts. Some of them listen to this broadcast and others. And they're telling the European Union, no. We'll see what happens. I don't have a crystal ball. But folks, you tell me no new world order, no new world economic order, no plot, no complicity of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the members of Congress, the members of the executive branch of government, and the officer corps of all four of our military services. I tell you that you are completely insane if you really believe that. You see, in the last 4.5 years, I haven't just done 1 2-hour broadcast. I've been documenting this treason for 4.5 solid years. Anyone who tells you that there's no new world order, no new world economic order, no plot, no conspiracy, no complicity of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the members of Congress, the members of the executive branch of government, including the president and his cabinet, and the highest-ranking military officers of all four of our military services, is a liar. They are part of the problem. They are part of the enemy. They are leading you down the garden path because the facts tell us otherwise. Remember, the symbol of international socialism is the red rose. It was the symbol of the rose and cross which came out of the ancient mysteries which were suppressed between the cold north wind, the snow, where the seed planted by the adepts, concealing their true religion, their true philosophy, wait for the spring thaw when the rising sun and the generative force, the phallus, will generate and regenerate the old pagan religions under the guise of a new one world religion and one world totalitarian socialist government. They work for that day. They live for it. Everything that they do is in the furtherance of that agenda, and they laugh at all of you who can't even see what's going on right in front of your eyes. When this happens, freedom will die forever, for socialism is a binding system. It creates victims who are dependent upon the state, and the state becomes more important than any individual or any group of individuals. And everything that everyone does must be in furtherance of the state. All information is controlled. Certain books will disappear and are already disappearing, ladies and gentlemen, from your libraries and from the Library of Congress. Anyone who says anything or does anything that is considered to be politically incorrect will just disappear. You'll never see them again. When you reach a certain age, you will be put into an old folks home where 2 weeks later you will die of a stroke. And the Emperor's circus has already returned. It's not just the Super Bowl anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It's real gladiators. I watched on television the other day, 2 men in a ring, barefisted, battling it out on television in a huge stadium filled by thousands of people. You know what that's for? I know men who don't know anything at all in this entire world except who plays third base for the Mets. And they think that that is a great achievement. And they can't wait to get together with their buddies so they can talk about who plays third base for the Mets. And they feel really intelligent and big and smart. And I shake my head and walk away because they're fools. They have given up what is intelligent and what is smart and what they should know to be popular or to be liked. That's high school stuff. We're talking about enslaving the human race here, and all they want to know is what time the Super Bowl is on. And women have their own little cul-de-sacs that they get in and spin around in, chasing their tail also. And they all know that something is terribly wrong, and they all talk about that. But they don't really want to know what's really wrong, and they sure as hell don't want to have any responsibility for fixing it. So that requires that they stick their neck out and take risk, and that they get on somebody's list. And that maybe they end up in prison or dead. Just like every person who's ever fought for liberty and freedom in the history of this country and in the history of the world, some of them always end up in prison or dead. But aren't they the people that we've always revered? Aren't they the people we've loved the most? Aren't they the people whom, in whose memory we have set up monuments and memorials all over this country? Aren't they the people we hold up to our children as examples of heroes who led the proper life and did the proper thing? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that we will very gladly slap our children on the butts and send them off to die in some godforsaken desert or some little pukey island down in the Caribbean, which has nothing to do with our country, our freedom, or the Constitution for the United States of America? To see our young men, helicopter pilots, dead, being drugged naked through the streets of Somalia? To watch our veterans of the Gulf War sicken and weaken and give birth to deformed children and genetic freaks. Why is it that we do that? Why is it that we pat them on the butts to send them off to their fates in these godforsaken places where those people who live there don't even care about anything or they wouldn't be in the situations they're in. Why is that, ladies and gentlemen? Why do we do that and call them patriots and tell them that they're serving their country, and if they die, we go to their funeral, we sit there, we shed a few tears, and we accept the folded flag, and we take it back and put it on our mantle and display it as if it's some kind of great achievement? And those same people who pat their children on the butts and send them off to these godforsaken places are cowards, are afraid to stand up in their own country and really take a risk and fight for freedom and for the Constitution, for the United States of America. Why is that? Well, I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell it to you because I think you know the answer too. And I think you're going to have to deal with that answer in your own heart. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I know there really is a Satan and Lucifer, but he's not out there running around in the woods somewhere, and he doesn't sit up there on some planet looking down at us. He doesn't fly around in the air. He's real. And I can tell you where he can be found all the time, every day. You see, you take human beings out of the picture, there is no Satan, there is no Lucifer, there is no evil. There's just the perfect machinations and workings of nature, the natural laws prevail. But you put one human being in the picture, and he will bring Satan with him. Put one woman in the picture, she will bring Satan with her. For Satan exists in the human heart and in nowhere else. That's where you will find him all the time, every time. If you want to get rid of Satan, you have to get rid of humanity. If you really believe that imperfect men can rule over imperfect men without their power being checked, and without being made responsible for their actions, and if you think that peoples will not be enslaved without the means to protect and defend themselves, which is arms, guns, then you're a fool and you don't know anything about history. But I'm telling you now, you had better learn, because we are on the brink of destruction. President Clinton says militias are un-American. In all the wars of the United States, I'm just going to give you a few. The Revolutionary War, fought from April 19, 1775 to April 11, 1783, there were 130,711 regular troops, 164,080 militia. In the Creek Indian War, I won't give you the dates, I'll just give you the numbers. There were 600 regulars, 13,000 militia. War of 1812 with Great Britain, 85,000 regulars, 471,000 militia. The Seminole War, 1,000 regulars, 6,900 militia. The Black Hawk Indian War, 1,000 regulars, 5,000 militia. The Cherokee Disturbance, 9,000 militia, no regulars. The Creek Indian War, 935 regulars, 12,000 militia. The Florida Indian War, 11,000 regulars, 29,000 militia. The Aroostook Disturbance, 1,500 militia only. The War with Mexico, listen carefully, in the War with Mexico, fought April 24, 1846 to July 4, 1848, 30,954 regular troops, 73,776 militia. I could go on and on and on. And this is taken, so that you can find it also, ladies and gentlemen, taken from a dictionary printed in 1939, copyright 1939 by the John C. Winston Company, Dictionary of the English Language, page 1142. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Don't miss tomorrow's episode of The Hour of the Town. God bless each and every single one of you, and may God save this republic. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's William Jefferson Clinton who is un-American. See, ladies and gentlemen, the militia built this country. The militia fought and died in all of its wars. The patriots and militia of the United States of America and of all of the several states have always been the very first to stand up and fight for the freedom of the American people. They built this country. They would never, never destroy it, ladies and gentlemen. But I guarantee you, they will do everything in their power to restore constitutional Republican government. Seek out and join a militia. Arm yourself. Learn how to use your weapons. If you cannot find a militia to join, form one of your own. If you don't know how to do that, listen to this broadcast and we'll tell you. This is the voice of freedom. Thank you. To the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The hour of the time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kilohertz, Monday through Friday night, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eagles.